Welcome to the Art of Slowing Down to Quantum Leap podcast that I created especially for conscious introvert entrepreneurs. And if you desire to grow and quantum scale without the hustle and are ready to discover the missing pieces to effortlessly running a soul-aligned business, then this is for you. And I'm your host, Annalena Fuchs, a human design and energetic alignment coach. And my mission with this podcast is to provide you with a shortcut to your most aligned path to success and financial freedom using a powerful combination of human design, science, and spirituality. And I myself have shifted from working 9 to 5 to now enjoying the freedom of creating things on my own terms. And I want to help you do the same. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Art of Slowing Down podcast. It's your host, Annalena. And today I have an amazing guest with me here. Her name is Allison Caffrey, and I'm just going to briefly introduce her right now and then we'll take it away. So Allison is a small business operations strategist, best-selling author, and founder of Operations Agency. And she's commonly referred to as the wolf among our clients because she just gets shit done. I love that because we have to get shit done, seriously. And Allison is best known for helping streamline the back end ops for a multitude of brands and using her Operations Simplified framework to unleash the power of small teams. She and the team at Operations Agency are determined to help businesses thrive profitably, serve more clients, and create high-performing teams. So Allison is also a mom of 2 young sons under 3 years old. Yeah, I agree. That's crazy. You got your hands full. And enjoys spending her time at home with her beautiful growing family. So I'm so happy to have you. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I was just telling her before we got on, we have been trying to make this happen for like 3 months or something. Always something came up. And I also told you that I always find that the themes that are coming up in these podcast interviews, there seem to be relevant. And I told my partner 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, I was like, you know, I would like to build a team in my business. Right now, I'm more like a one-man show. And I think that's also perfect. But so I'm super excited to learn a little bit from you. And also just so the listeners know, Allison doesn't know anything about human design, which I find really awesome, actually. And she's open to look a little bit at her charts, even 2 different charts. And we're going to do a little bit experiment. And because I'm curious what she thinks and if it resonates or not. So just so you guys know, but we're going to do this later on. So I want to know from you, tell me what you do, especially like when you start working with clients, where are they at? Where do you take them?
Yeah. So I typically find folks come to me when there's something that they want to grow in the business, whether that's, I want more clients, I want a larger marketing presence, you know, a higher functioning sales team, but we feel like we don't have the systems to make that happen, right? We don't have the structure in place to invite a bunch of new clients because people are either leaving us left and right, or things feel really hectic and team members have really full plates and they're really feeling overworked. And a lot of the symptoms are different, but the prescription, I guess, is pretty similar, right? A lot of business owners, they start a business and they're really, really great at what they do, right? They have a specialization in a particular field. And then all of a sudden they end up with this business, right? They end up with this thing that needs a lot of structure and needs a lot of business administrative support. And whether that is, you know, how you manage your projects or how you onboard new team members or how you get clients set up in your product or your service, it's all a function of operations. And so I would get tapped on the shoulder when companies would say, well, I have this incredible growth goal, or I want to hire on a new team member and we need some support for that person. I also would get tapped on the shoulder pretty frequently to work with folks who had just recently lost a team member and out went all of the company information with that within that person's brain. Someone who would maybe hit a wall in their business and they really felt like they were burning the candle at both ends. So they wanted to take some strategic time away from the business and they would ask me to help them structure their role and their leadership capabilities. I got approached by moms who were running businesses and they were like, I need to take a maternity leave and I don't know how I'm even going to do that. So oftentimes, again, the symptoms were a little bit different, but for the most part, what I help companies do is create more durable, more predictable, and more peaceful businesses to run by implementing operational structure and not really overwhelmingly. I don't do, you know, I know a really big player in the space is the Traction, you know, EOS model, like entrepreneurial operating system. I don't overwhelm my clients. I'm like, simple tweaks in the way that we do things can really have massive impact on how much time we get back, how much mental bandwidth we save from running our business. So I find that it's really just having somebody with the expertise and the experience coming in and taking a look at our business from a third-party perspective and considering how can we make this flow a little bit simpler.
Yeah, I love that. So let me ask, because I'm a solo entrepreneur, right? I have literally over the last 5 years doing this mostly all by myself. I did here and there work with a VA, but somehow that hasn't worked really well for me. Because what I always have found is that, one, they have really high rates these days. And for me, sometimes some month I don't have that much. And then another month I may have a little bit more. And I also, I guess, I have a very particular taste and a way of doing things. And I mean, it takes a lot of time to train somebody and have them at a place where you actually feel like, okay, we can work together. And I have found I haven't had the time to actually invest into this. And I tried different. Also, I tried some more low-cost VAs in different countries and stuff like that, but it just wasn't right for me. So I'm wondering now, because I have created now some recurring revenue because I have a membership and I have by now so many products online. Like sometimes I just sell stuff and I don't promote it perhaps like, you know, actively and it's still going, but I'm still in this, like, you know, I have to keep putting stuff out there continuously. And if I were to take a month off, I mean, maybe that would not go so well. And I want to get to this point where my business is running more in the background where I have to show up less all the time. And I can just take a 3 week vacation, not even worry about a thing. So what would you tell me as like little advice, or where would you start?
Yeah. So I want to unpack a lot of what you're working toward, because I think you have the full spectrum of, you know, starting, right? And also having an ambition to go out of the business for 3 weeks at a time, right? So what I always say is that our business operations are a direct reflection of the habits that it keeps, right? So how can we develop really healthy business habits? And one of the ways that we can do that is we can start to centralize company information, right? Build out internal knowledge, SOPs, trainings, so that when you do bring on a team member, you don't have to spend all that extra time training them. You can just hand them the thing and say, hey, please do this. And of course, work with them on improving that, right? Put your special touch on things and make sure that they get the one-on-one attention that they need, especially in the early days. But for the most part, I find that my clients that work with us, they, you know, kind of define what exactly does this person need to be successful. And they spend the time kind of ahead of hiring somebody, really defining the role, defining the things that make it successful, setting up the internal knowledge. Then we get a teammate who comes in, the training time shortens pretty significantly to when they're able to actually help get things off of your plate, right? And that's where I find people don't get so burnt by hiring, because I think what we do in a best effort to grow our business and save ourselves some time is we invite somebody into the fold, let's just say to manage our social media, right? You know, post stuff on Instagram, post stuff on Facebook, get our blog running and all the things. And then we don't have any systems for them. So then what we're really asking them to do is build the systems and the production flow to do that thing and then do that thing. So I joke, I actually recorded a video about this on my YouTube channel recently. Sometimes we're kind of like snake oil salesmen. We're like, hey, come get this flashy, cool social media job. But in the meantime, can you go organize everything instead? And we just give them a completely different role in the business because that is what we need preceding any hire, right? We need them to come in and make the systems first to then actually manage the things that we want them to manage. So I joke that it's kind of like asking somebody to drive on a road that hasn't been paved yet, right? They could be an excellent driver, but they're not skilled in the art of designing and paving roads. So I think starting there, centralizing company knowledge and saying, here's what we need to do, here's how we manage this, it's going to be worth its weight in gold, because even if you keep that task on your plate for a little while longer, it'll help you become more efficient at doing those things. And so the investment in time in the business will thus yield, right, better results. Second thing is that I find, and I've been working with a mentor and coach now for a while. He's the best-selling author of Buy Back Your Time, and it's a really, really incredible book around thinking about founders' time as a commodity and always trading up, right? Making our time more valuable, more investing in what we want to grow, the vision that we have for our life, spending time with our family, investing in our personal health. And he frequently says that delegating things isn't necessarily the problem. It's filling our time back up with activities that are going to bring us closer to that, you know, 10.0 version of ourselves, right? So if, for example, we're not able to find the margin to get things off of our plate and delegate them to a virtual assistant or a project manager or somebody else to help us coach our clients or something, then we are probably more likely in a scenario where we actually just don't know what else to do with our time, like actually to bring more revenue into the business and more growth into the business. So defining, what am I offloading? Do I have the resources for somebody? And then what am I going to actually do with my free time? How am I going to fill that up in a way that actually grows the business and actually increases the amount of money that we're able to make to support this new role? So thinking about all of that ahead of time is going to be great. And then the third question you asked is, how do I take time off for 3 weeks at a time and build a business and a delegation structure that can help support that? It's doing those two things, right? Of course, saying I'm going to delegate confidently and fill my time up with revenue generating activities or being with my family and focusing on my personal health so I can show up confidently to coach my clients. And then the third piece is just practice, right? Practice delegating, practice taking some time off, right? If you give somebody a task, don't jump over their head and solve their problem. Allow them to fail. Allow yourself to get comfortable letting go of the reins, because it's not going to happen overnight. We're all perfectionists. We all have high standards. This is our business. It's our baby. And ultimately, we need to be able to practice taking some of that time off. I've seen folks come in and be like, I work weekends constantly and into the evenings, but I really want to take a 2 week vacation with my family. And I tell them, you can't just jump into the deep end going rogue offline for 2 weeks when you've literally trained your business to need you 24/7, right? It's like going out to the store, grocery store, when you have a newborn baby at home. You just can't do it. They need too much, right?
Yeah, they need the milk, right? So
exactly.
Yeah, awesome. So as you were speaking, thank you so much for this. So I had these two epiphanies, because I used to work in corporate before this, and I actually did this myself at the time because I saw the need in the company. It was like writing manuals of how do we do things here. And obviously that saved down the line a lot of time. And I love to teach. So the first thing that came to me as you were talking, because I love to create online courses, right, where I explain things, because that's what is exhausting to me, that I would have to explain myself over and over again. So I think I will start, this is going to be on my list, to create something. Like you say, this is my business. These are my core values. This is what's important for me. These are total no-nos for me. Mm-hmm. And this is what I stand for. So people have to take this training, you know, and complete it to be on my team, so they know everything, which makes so much sense. And the other thing that really helped me, what you were just saying, because obviously just like training for a marathon, right? We're not going to go from right, not even walking to like running. It's a small progression, small steps. So what just came to me, which I can already do now without having a team member, so to say, is that I can take, okay, I want to take a week off. And because I can very well, I have systems already, some in place. I can schedule my emails in my system in advance. I can pre-schedule on social media. It's just like right now, I kind of wait until the last minute to do it, but I totally can. It's something I can do it But it's a habit change, right? It's going to get me a little bit uncomfortable, I think, first. But I was like, okay, let me start small and I can do a week and then see how that goes, how I feel, probably some discomfort. And yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you for sharing.
Something, of course, and something helpful too for anybody listening who's going down this path too is like, if you want to bring somebody into your business to start handling some of the tasks that you have on your plate, start treating yourself the way you would treat an employee, right? Start expecting the same thing. Right. So Alina, you're like, I wait till the last minute sometimes. And it, you know, I actually schedule these like way, you know, way close to the deadline. Expect and create the system for what you expect or would expect if you were an employee, right? You would really want to see that person scheduling things out in advance and being ahead of the game and making things more peaceful. Start doing that and then ask yourself the question, what would I need to be true in order to do this, right? I would need this system to be set up. I would need all the content to be created ahead of time, right? And then that way you can say, hey, listen, if you can take care of the scheduling piece of this, I'll create the content. But then you already have an understanding about how far in advance they need that stuff, right? So I think often too, what happens, again, it goes back into filling up that available time once you've delegated, is often we'll keep the same habits that we kept when we were a solopreneur and we forget that now we have a collaborator, right? Now we have somebody else to lead. And it's really, really helpful to lead that person by example. And again, just ask yourself the question, how would I behave if I were an employee of my business? How would I expect me to behave?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, this is something I have been aware of many times. Like, well, if I had a boss, I would do it. But because I'm my own boss, it's so easy to just like, whatever, I don't feel like it, or let me do it another time. So yeah, it just was nice to hear that from you again, because I know it. And I think it's really important how, also for us to realize, right, how much more we respect another person than we respect ourselves. And so
absolutely.
Way.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Awesome. So you also have kids.
Sure do.
And I have one daughter. So what's also a tip for you for especially mom entrepreneurs, so that they can have more time for the family and not, because I think oftentimes, I think I was there in the beginning, that everything was business, 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 especially since COVID, you know, businesses are at the house. And I love being at home, to be honest, but I also know that I need to sometimes get out and have that kind of, you know, cut off between, okay, now it's no more business. Because it's so easy, even on the weekends, like, ah, let me do a little bit here, let me do a little bit here. So we're never fully present in the personal life, which is a little bit better now. But what is something there that you would recommend?
Yeah, I mean, look, the areas are so gray, especially when you work from home, right? It feels like there are no boundaries between home and business. Sometimes you have a computer that in your pocket, right? Your phone has the capabilities of, you know, folks in the 80s wildest dreams. But I think for the most part, creating those boundaries are going to be the first and foremost, most important, because like I said, if you are working into the evenings and all hours of the weekends and all of those things, you're training a business that needs more of your time to operate. And so we need to create a forcing function and some of those hard boundaries. So shutting your computer 6 o'clock every night and not logging back in after the kids go to bed. I think kids present a unique opportunity for moms who run their business. And it's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about maternity leave, right? The transformation, you know, of a woman into a mom is like, we can transform our businesses through this experience. Our kids need a lot of time and care and mental bandwidth in the early years of their life. And then, you know, even more just differently as they get older. And so we can use being a mom as a forcing function to create a better business. I really do believe that. And I believe it about sabbatical. I believe it about taking time off, is that every time we're in a position to focus our vision on what's really most important, right? Our personal health, our mental health, our family. We're constantly in a position where we can improve what our business means to our life, right? To other people's lives, right? And it's really, really a cool opportunity for us. So I think creating those boundaries is excellent. And then recognizing this as an opportunity, right? Becoming a mom doesn't mean you need to shut down your business. Having less time for your business doesn't mean it needs to stop growing. Like it's, I think a lot of moms think that oftentimes when they work with me, they'll say, oh, well, I have way less time than I had. So how can I like keep on the trajectory or on the pace that I want to grow this thing? And I actually take the argument that we need to get out of our own way as founders and let people take the reins and actually work less in the business and let folks shine. So being more comfortable delegating and being able to hand things off to folks, folks who are really capable, folks who, you know, I think moms, sometimes we shoulder way too much responsibility and we tend to default to, oh, I'll just do it. Right. And I think it ends up holding us back. I remember there was a time early postpartum with my first son. I was standing in the kitchen with my husband and I had just spilled the small amount of reserved milk that we'd had for my infant son. And breastfeeding's like a whole other beast, but I was like producing just enough milk to keep him fed. But it was really stressful because I was wondering, am I gonna make enough milk? Is he gonna be hungry? And all these other things, right? So I had just pumped some milk that was gonna be like a surplus for us. And I accidentally hit it over and it went all over the counter onto the floor. And I just like had this like meltdown. I was like, everything in life is completely out of my control and I don't understand what to do. And I looked at my husband at the time and I was like, I don't know what I need, but I just need you to help me figure it out. And even just voicing that, he was able to try to kind of get in and take stuff off of my plate. And to this day now, he prepares 90% of the meals that we all put into our body, me and my two sons. I had done all of that previously, even in those early days postpartum, still cooking. I just thought it was my role, right? As the wife and as the mom. And I think sometimes when moms shoulder too much responsibility and they're reluctant to let some of that stuff go, they actually hold other people back from sharing their gifts really meaningfully with others. And my husband loves cooking, like loves it. He comes alive, he sings and listens to music, and he creates new recipes and is like so excited about it. And I'm over here like, I was holding this man back. I was holding him back from being able to provide this for his family. And I think we do that all the time in our business, right? Somebody who's really looking for work in a fully capable project management role and a fully capable assistant role, or, and you know, something that seems really meaningless, right? Somebody that we could hire to come and mow our lawn, who is so grateful for the recurring revenue and the new person in the neighborhood who's hired them on. We do this to ourselves all the time, and we do it all because we don't want to be judged for whatever reason by getting stuff off of our plate. But really, we're helping ourselves by focusing on the things that are really important to us, to our business, being with our family presently, and also too, just making somebody else's dreams come true.
I love that so much because I think so often we also have issues with trust, right? And letting go of the control. And actually, yeah, I love the story with you actually held your husband back and he is shining because we think we have to do it all. That's such a powerful story. So thanks for sharing that. Now, I keep looking at the book here. So tell us about, that's the book you wrote, right? The Sabbatical Method?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Sabbatical Method is kind of like hard 75 for your operations. A lot of business owners know that they're overdue to create systems. They know that they need it. There's like a little voice in the back of their head, right? That's like, if I want to grow this thing, I know I need to get professional about my operations. And so I wrote this book to hopefully help somebody do two things. First is prioritize and create some bandwidth in their schedule to actually build the systems that they want if they want to do it on their own. And also two, to avoid burnout. Avoid the voluntold sabbatical of being in a position where you burn the candle at both ends and the middle, or you're in a position where you are medically just needing to take some time off. I have a client who came to me, and I talk about in the book significantly, who was just really ignoring her personal health. And she was a high level executive coach to companies like GoDaddy and Airtable. And she came to me and she was like, Allie, I've ignored my health so much. I have advanced lipidemia and I can barely walk. And I need to, every few hours of my day, have my lymphatic system drained, and I need to be fully laying so I can't be working. I can't be coaching. I can't be doing anything. And so what she came to me to do was create the bandwidth in her schedule by creating operations for her team to be able to take some stuff over. But man, she felt so stuck. She was absolutely at a bottom with her health, with her business. She was like, do I just shut this dang thing down? And it was so confronting that I remember thinking to myself, I was like, had I met this person 2 years earlier or a year earlier, could we have avoided some of these things? And so I started thinking, well, what did I do with this client? And that's why I created this, is because if I could get this in the hands of this client 2 years prior and she had this resource, could we have avoided, you know, all of the resentment that she'd built toward her business, all of her health struggles and everything that she needed to do to basically rebuild the business up from scratch, right? And now she walks today with renewed confidence in her business and a team that knows what they're doing and bright, exciting hope for the future. But it came at a pretty heavy cost for a time. So I think making sure that we can build rest into our business at a cadence that feels really comfortable for us, we can actually make our business last longer, right? If we build rest, relaxation, not only in the evenings and on the weekends, but ability to take vacation, ability to just be for a month over the holidays when things feel really hectic and we can just be with our kids instead. We're like, you know what? I don't want to do all this other stuff because I've got the systems in place to be able to handle this. It makes for a much durable business. So my kind of big theme of the book is that if you want a high performing business, you got to have endurance and strength and flexibility and all those things, but you also need rest, right? You need that time and any training plan. You know, you've got that specific recovery time to be able to rebuild your muscles for the next phase of the training and the ascent. And so I personally think that rebuilding, you know, as it relates to running a business, solely focused on operations and creating systems, a project, it's better.
Yeah, I love that. You know, one thing that came to my mind, because I was born and raised in Germany, and when I moved to the US about 15 or 16 years ago, I was a little bit shocked by the work culture here because I think having 2 weeks of vacation if you work for a company is kind of a lot. And in Europe, for the most part, once you graduate from college or even like from high school and you start a job, everybody has at least 6 weeks of vacation plus tons of. So it's almost like you almost have 2 months of a year off. And all my friends and my have three sisters in Germany, and they're always like, oh, I'm here on vacation. I'm here on vacation. And I'm always like, God damn it. You know, it's such a hustle culture here. And people sometimes have two or three jobs. And I think it's better managed somehow, at least from what I've experienced in Europe. And I hope that's going to be more and more here also in the US, where even like the people don't have their businesses, right? But they work for a company. Like, if we just have to be there all the time and we can only take off when we're sick, or then we don't get paid when we're not feeling well, I mean, that's almost like it cannot be sustainable for any company. What is your take on that?
Yeah, I tend to shy away from formal opinions on what companies, large companies, decide to do or offer to their employees because I don't know their specific situations. However, what I will say is that the hustle culture, especially in entrepreneurship, is real. We talk a lot about hustling, grinding, momentum, making it work, you know, doing all the hard things. And I believe that that is necessary to grow a business. And I also believe that it's necessary to be a value-driven professional. If you're going to thrive in any company that has hundreds, thousands of employees, you are going to need to stand out in a specific way. So I definitely subscribe to that. We do hard things in our family all the time, constantly pursuing goals. And I find that there's a limit to that, right? There's an absolute limit to that, just like your example before around going out and running a marathon on day one. Like, I don't have the capability to do that today. And if I went out and tried to run a marathon, I'd get very hurt, very hurt. And it would also stop me from running tomorrow, which isn't the game that we need to play, creating sustainability and longevity in everything we do. So I think some of the cultural differences between the way Americans rest and the way Europeans rest, I think exists also in the work environment, right? Because I think generally Americans are excess and they're very, you know, work driven and all of those things. But at the end of the day, it's up to you. It's up to the individual how we prioritize that stuff. So I actually don't really subscribe to, okay, my boss isn't giving me my time off or, you know, whatever. And even if you look at yourself and your business, right? Sometimes I've seen entrepreneurs build a cage for themselves. They build this business and then they can never leave it. They work all the time. They resent their family. They resent the business. And it's a whole thing. And I think for the most part, we need to step up and say, okay, if I don't want this to be my reality, then it's up to me to change this, true. Right? Whether you start pursuing another career, whether you start, you know, redesigning your business, like I'm talking about here with you today, it's really in our hands. And I definitely, one of our core values, you know, at Operations Agency is extreme ownership, right? Really stepping up and saying like, I have the ability, I own all the good things and the bad things about the situation. And I'm the one who can make all the positive changes in the direction that I want.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, one of the things that I love about my business, I basically work part-time and I do take days off or half a day but still I'm really inspired right now too, so I can have like a whole week. So that's my next step I'm looking forward to. Yeah, so anyone listening, get the book. It sounds very intriguing what you're sharing here with us, and I love your expertise with that. So how can people, before we look at the human design stuff, how can people reach out to you? Who's your ideal client? Where they're at on their journey?
Yeah, I work with mostly service providers who have small teams. I work a lot in technology, digital marketing agencies, software as a service, some of those high growth, you know, organizations that need to hire fast, right? Because they've got a lot of demand. So if you want to get in touch and get some resources, I have a really great, simple training on how to set up your operations. It's 17 minutes long. Like I said, I'm a no fluff, like keep things simple type of gal. But you can send me a direct message on Instagram at Operations Agency, and I'll send that over to you. And it'll just, I think, unlock a couple of things that we can be doing as soon as humanly possible before team, you know, even if you have a team that will, you know, really be able to be leveraged, right, with some of the structure that you put in place. So all of my fun operations tips and how to do this is all at Operations Agency on Instagram.
Awesome. I love it. And thank you for, providing me with so much wisdom. That's the most fun of my podcast. I always learn new things.
I love it. I love the live coaching element of this today. It's been fun.
Yeah. And actually just want to mention this, that Allison has her own podcast as well. It's called the Growing Pains Podcast, but everything will be in the show notes anyways. Definitely check it out. And I'm going to share now this human design chart, and I'm just going to, like, how I perceived the things that you have been sharing. I'm going to share a little bit with you what I see. And then I want to hear from you actually, like, what is your take on it? Cool. So this is your human design chart. I don't know if you've ever seen this before or not, but we have something called a type in human design, and that gives us like a little bit of an idea of what it's all about. And you are a generator, and your conscious sun. So this is basically the sun at the time you were born was in this gate 40. That's really what this means. I think you're Virgo, right? That's very much on point. I want to say, because you get things organized, right? That's what this energy is about. And this energy here is about, I know this one really well, it's about finding the balance between work and rest. And you do that.
Love it.
Right? So that's really what you do. And it's in the line four. The line four is all about networks and your people. And so you're bringing that in there too. So they find this balance between, you know, working and hustling, which sometimes we do and we want to do, and then it's like time to take off. And then another thing, like as a generator, we always say like, you're here to respond to life, right? It's about, well, you see what the demands are and then you respond with your body and you do what feels right versus what the mind maybe sometimes may think you have to do. So how do you feel about that in your business where you're more like responding to things as opposed to like doing the things that you think you have to do? Does it make sense?
Yeah, so totally. And I think actually I had a conversation about this with a coach of mine last week. I love feedback. I love data. And at the end of the day, I said to him out loud, I said, I will create the most helpful resource that people want, not necessarily what I want to create. Like, I'll put my spin on it and deliver it in ways that feels naturally to me. But if somebody comes to me and they're like, Allie, this is really great, and I love everything you've made for me here, but I'd love it in this way, I would totally remake it because I want to help at the end of the day. So however that comes, I'm really, really happy to implement feedback. So I think that might be where the reaction comes in, is I actually do use a lot of real-time data and feedback in the way that we develop our content, our products, our services, our online course for moms planning maternity leave. I mean, all of our things. We love feedback at Operations Agency.
Yeah, no, I love it. Yeah, because that's exactly what it's about. Like, we're supposed to do what really lights us up, what energizes us, and that actually gives us even more energy as a generator type. And then, but like you say, right, you work with people, we interact with people, and it's a constant feedback loop, and then we keep improving. And as long as it brings us joy, right, it's a win-win. Another thing that really stands out in your chart as well is there's a lot of ambition. So this gate 54 is called ambition. It's about entrepreneurship. And I think, I mean, everything you have been sharing, right, it's about sustainable growth. It's about the, you know, people want to get up the ladder and grow something, but you do it in a very, I love the word you use, simplicity, right? And in a sustainable way. So that's awesome. And then another thing that also, when you were talking, there's this energy of focus in the chart, and not everybody has this easily. So it's usually like, it comes easier to you when you have it, right? It's like this gate 9 and then 29 and 46. So gate 9 is about focus. So kind of, it's like you see the forest, right? And you can be all over the place, but you're like laser, like, okay, we need to focus on this tree. We need to go here. Because that's like, and that is your, we call this, it's your unconscious earth. That's a very strong energy in your chart. So it's almost like your purpose here to bring this into the world. And then the 2946, it's a channel. And this energy, it's almost like an Olympic athlete, like where you have the determination to keep focusing on it and you keep taking the steps and doing that. So I just like, these are the things that when you were talking were like, yeah, she's just doing it. You know, it's like here. So how do you feel about that?
Everything you've been saying is very kind, first and foremost. I think it's funny, oftentimes, and I don't have a ton of experience or just knowledge in human design, astrology, and any of those things. And I often find that mostly they are depicted as positive. So I'm wondering, because a lot of what I'm looking at here, I can't quite make sense of. So I'm wondering now, is there any piece of feedback that this delivers? As you know, I love feedback. Is there any place that I'm like, oh, naturally, you need to improve this thing?
Well, so every energy in the chart, right, they always have a shadow and a gift, right? So the gate 40, for example, has a shadow, and the shadow is all about, well, we overwork, we overgive, it's the people pleasing a lot, right? And most likely at some point in your life you were there. I can
totally
probably always imagine, right? And usually this is something that keeps showing for us over and over again. Or the gate 9 I was talking about, the shadow here would be where we're like ADHD all over the place, right? We want to, like, we cannot focus. Like, we are like, and usually we are there before we really tap into the focus for us, right? Another thing that's, if I look at your chart, that's very important for you is that, so you have emotional authority. Emotional authority means that for you to make big decisions in life. So big decisions is like moving to another house, or with friendships, breaking up or something, or a business shift, like bigger things where you invest lots of time and energy, right? With emotional authority, what this basically means is that you need to wait. It's not good for you to just like in the moment make really quick, big decisions. And you need to write out, like, you know, the emotions, the way that your wave behaves, but you tell me if that feels like natural to you, is that it kind of builds up internally and builds up, and kind of like we're describing with the milk. And then all of a sudden you like explode, almost like a, you know, like a water cooker or something like that. You just need to release that energy, and then you can come down again. And also physical touch usually helps with that energy a lot to kind of come back. And you never want to make a big decision when you feel this emotional turmoil within yourself, right? And especially in today's world, we can get so hyped up by other people sometimes too, right? And it may not be our own excitement. So it's always best that, you know, make big decisions when you feel calm and grounded. And you keep having this like belly response, or that's the sacral center. This is basically the meaning that if something is right for you, it's going to be like a light, expansive feeling in your body. It's not what the mind thinks you have to do. It's just like you intuitively know, and it's in the body. The mind is here to, like what you do, right? To analyze and to improve and to question things and all this, but it's not our decision-making tool, our mind. And so often, I think, because we have been so trained in society, like, this is what I think I should do, but you know in your body that's not what you're supposed to do. And then usually what happens is, like, it feels hard. It feels unnecessary hard, and we're pushing too much. But when you go with what your gut is feeling, and then you wait out this emotional wave for bigger decisions and not let anybody rush you, and please never hesitate from being like, let me sleep on it. That should be super duper new vocabulary. Because from this place, we go slower usually, but it's so much more impactful. Yeah. Is that kind of what you were looking for a little bit?
Yes. And I am building that skill this year, something I've identified as a professional and personal thing I need to refine in 2024 is my patience. I've been very used to, I think it goes along with my rejection of the hustle culture and making sure that at all costs, right, we deliver the thing. Something that I've been able to do in, I think, my young professional career, but now less so, is be able to be really hard-headed and push through specific obstacles in order to get some things done and to launch my business and all the things. But now that same logic can't really be applied with what I built. I can't be hard-headed when I'm working alongside my team. I can't be hard-headed when I'm co-parenting our children. I can't be hard-headed when I'm trying to potty train my son, right? So those types of things, I think I love, just to have a system to develop some patience. So I have been really practiced in specifically taking a second and doing an activity and then responding to a situation in my business and in my life. It's been a habit I've been working on.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, that's why I need to remind myself. That's why my podcast is called The Art of Slowing Down. So
I love it.
Seriously, I think we all can have that. So yeah, wonderful. So now, because I told you, I recently have looked more into true sidereal astrology as well, which it's called cosmic human design, and it's just a different perspective. And so I'm going to pull up yours as well. And because human design is not to put us in a box, it's more to shine some aspects on you that can really help you trust yourself even more and accept yourself at a deeper level. So the reason why I want to bring yours up, even though you're totally new to this, is because in the true sidereal, you are a reflector, and reflector is like 1% of the population, is the most rarest. And as you can see, everything is white here, right? So when everything is white in the chart, you are in a very receptive energy. Like, you take on a lot of energy. You're very, very sensitive to your environment and everything. Like, so I'm wondering if you relate to that.
I think sometimes.
Yeah. And it's also one of the most wisest energies, because you can reflect back the health of a business, for example. You can reflect back, you can very clearly see, you know, what's off and all of it. And what I find interesting here, and I really find that probably both energies are very relevant in your life, is the gate 31 is one of the biggest leadership energies, right? Mm-hmm. It's about, and everything you do is about leadership, right? It's about taking more responsibility, how you show up in your business. And this one, the unconscious earth, and the other one, right, remember, was about focus. And here, the 44, we call it, it's all about teamwork. And I found this so interesting, because that's what you all talk about, right? It's building teams and helping with that. And the 24 is about innovation. And I just, when I was listening to you, I was like, wow, yeah, you bring a lot of innovation, right, into the world of how we can do things more proficient in the world. And yeah, so I just, and this energy is also, well, you have also gate 5 which you have several, like four times. So it's a very strong theme in this chart. And gate five is one about patience, which is very interesting because we were talking about it.
Maybe this is future me, the me I'm looking to build.
I think this is, thank you for saying this, because right now I'm in this conversation with a lot of people online and we are all kind of sensing, because I just discovered this after being in human design for a really long time. I mean, I have known about it for a long time, but my body finally felt like it's time for me to look deeper into it. And we all have this like inner knowing, this is probably my next level self. This is my next level of expansion and the things that are serving me to, you know, trust myself even more. So yeah, patience is huge, huge for you. And it's also about consistent routines that are serving you in some way. And with, so this here is North Node, and you have it on both. This is conscious and unconscious. So it's basically what you're more aware of and your physical body, the subconscious we often talk in mindset work about. And gate 14 is all about actually helping other people be more prosperous, right? Through responding, what lights you up, and also being inspired by money in some way, but in a way that it's actually enhancing not only your bank account in prosperity, but especially others. And that's the more prosperous you will be yourself, right? The more you focus on that. Yeah, so I think that's all I wanted to share, because I also know this can look very overwhelming and you probably have tons of questions now. What if you can be both and it's just a different level of evolution? And because we expand as humans, we change, we shift, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you breaking this down for me. It's definitely new territory, but I do resonate with a lot of what you shared, both in the actual nature of how I perceive myself now and in the future me that I'm trying to develop and hone the skills, especially around leadership and coaching. I have been considering myself for a lot of years, probably prior to the book launch for sure, but even in, you know, 2022, I remember I joked a bunch that I was the best kept secret in operations, right? Like I was always behind the scenes. And it wasn't until recently, with a lot of the thought leadership and the frameworks and the development of the book, that I really felt like I've stepped into this other opportunity around leading others through this experience and talking about it more formally. But I had a journey, right? I needed to get there. I needed to prove myself to myself and like cut my teeth and, you know, do those whole that whole thing. So yeah, I appreciate you sharing that with me.
Yeah. And thank you for being open to it. I love that as well. So
of course, I love learning new things. Like absolutely love
it. Right? It's the best. I think that's really when we miss out on life, when we think we know it all, right? It's like we just know this little, and it's so fascinating. And when we can just share and be open to new perspectives, yeah, that's wonderful. So before I let you go, Allison, I always ask my beautiful guests this one question. What's this one nugget of wisdom that you want to leave the listeners with that has been kind of life-changing for yourself?
Yeah, of course. I think viewing rest as a requirement and not an option is really, really huge. I think if we look at, like I said, high performance and the pursuit of goals and high level training and all the things, we can really trace back that rest is a critical element of all of those things. And I think as an entrepreneur, as an individual, as a mom, as a partner, we could all probably use a little bit more space in our schedule, in our day, and really show up powerfully when we need to turn on and be that leader, make those powerful decisions, complete a really, really challenging project, right? We feel like we have the reserves in the tank, proverbially speaking, to be able to show up as the best version of ourselves in that moment. So you never know. We're only a couple of decisions or a couple of big opportunities away from a complete change shift in our business and in our life. I do firmly believe that. And when the opportunity comes, you want to be well rested and feel like the best version of you versus the burnt out version who can't physically take another opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for that. If you don't mind, I have a follow-up question on that.
Of course.
So, because I have had this a lot with my clients and we have talked about it. So rest, right? It's a big word. And I know many women, I was there at some point myself, was like, oh, resting is like, I'm going to take an afternoon nap and I'm going to be on the couch. But I have learned for myself that I need physical activity in my life. It's a huge thing. And that is actually rest for me sometimes. I mean, there are
Yes.
other times where I just have to freaking sleep, obviously. But I think I actually was the other day, I was at a hair salon and I got my hair done and there was a lady sitting next to me and she was like, yeah, I cannot even rest because I'm laying on the couch and I'm freaking stressed because I'm thinking about all these things. So just want to hear a little bit of like, what are some ways of resting?
I love a good walk around the neighborhood. I also find that taking a nap for me isn't the best case scenario. Now, when I was pregnant, sometimes I would take a nap. So I'll say, number one, this can change, right? As you evolve, as you find new ways to do things, there might be seasons of life where you really enjoy getting outside and getting a walk in. And then there might be other seasons of life where just turning your brain off and reading a little bit of a fantasy novel that you have on the shelf, that might be rest for you. So I would say, be okay with it changing and just be receptive to what is working really well for you. If you go out for a walk and you're just like coming back stressed and sweaty and it's not helping, then don't do that anymore. Maybe do some stretching or some essential oils or something like that, right? So rest can look a thousand different ways. Sleep is super important. I am not personally a sleep expert, but I noticed that the quality of my sleep, going to bed at the same time, waking up at the same time, not looking at technology 30 minutes before bed, all of the things that everybody tells you, it really does help me get up bright and bushy-tailed, 4:30 in the morning, ready to hit my day. And I think it's important to know what that is for you. So some people are morning folks, some people are evening folks. I encourage people to try, right? Try going for walks, try taking those quick breaks and see how it feels. In the early days of moving into our house, we have a beautiful porch and we live in a kind of wooded area, and just look out, look at the birds. And I would just take a cup of coffee out there and just go sit for a second. And honestly, I haven't done it in a little while because it's been kind of cold, but I'm excited to get back to that. I'm very, very excited. So there's seasons of life where sometimes rest looks different.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I think nature probably gives us the most rest. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you for being here. I truly love this conversation. It was such new, fresh energy. It opened up so many perspectives for myself, and I trust also for all the listeners. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here.
Thank you for having me. I had an awesome time.
Super. I'm really happy to hear that. And you listeners, as always, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And I'm excited to be with you all on the next episode. Thank you for listening to this episode. And if you enjoyed what you heard today, then please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes. And if you also know someone that you know in your heart could benefit from listening to this podcast, then I invite you to please share and help me reach more conscious leaders so we together can create global impact. I truly appreciate you, and see you next time.